This is professional radio, gentlemen.
And it's front wheel drive.
Scotty, have you got anyone you want to thank?
Just myself.
And now we do the after hours.
Gentlemen, what would you go for?
Thanks to your sin, dude.
Okay, and because it's not a supercar.
But it is.
It's not.
Automotive perfection comes in the form of two letters, A and U.
Long live my LTD.
Welcome to Car Talk. It's me, Matty J, here online with Alam Deep Singh, Scotty Doe Johnson, Edward Bunting, Adrian DiGiorgio, and Rizzy Ross Actor. How are we, guys?
Welcome to Car Talk. I'm Matty J.
So we've got some technical difficulties with that there, but doing all right.
He's a bit delayed.
To be Matty before the show.
Yes, yes. It's a Tuesday night, as we always do it here on the podcastings. Gentlemen, welcome to the 401st edition of Car Talk.
Woo! 401.
Another one.
Another one.
Today's quiz is going to have 401 questions.
Yes, it's going to be a long night.
Hopefully you're ready, Scotty. You've prepared that many.
What were those Levi's? They're Levi 501s.
One more question. What was that, Ed?
Oh, what were those Levi jeans? Were they Levi 501s, not 401s? Have you heard of them?
Don't know. There's
a famous Levi design. I think it was a Levi 501, maybe.
I'm a Target guy, so that's as far as I go. That's the sitch. What's the 411?
So what are we doing on the 420?
420. We can
smoking
bacon.
Elon Musk special, that one.
We're all getting high on that.
Everyone come to Canberra for that one.
It's called
legalized up there.
You can have marijuana plants, but you can't buy the seeds. So there's that, you know, questionability of how you got the seed. And then if you have enough plants, the AFP will come and take it away, and Scott Morrison will cook it into a curry that's undercooked.
Okay,
right.
So,
right.
But you are allowed to have your own plants.
Yes. Yes, you are.
We'll have to do the Elon Musk special for that episode, I think.
That whole conversation reminds me of that, I think it was Harold and Kumar, where they were trying to get special weed. So, and you know, we have a resident doctor that can obtain all of that in Canberra for us, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. He can do it medicinally, if you know what I mean. but Alam, we'll start with you, man. How's it going up there? What's happening in your world?
Not a whole lot, just business as usual, you know, driving around the STI, trying not to get into trouble. I saw a recent post on the Subaru bi-svalent swap, I think, that somebody, a Toyota dealership, had offered a gentleman a swap for his spec car model year 21 STI, plus cash his way for a Supra.
Wow.
And he was questioning whether or not to take it. Which got me a little intrigued. I mean, I wouldn't go for a Supra, if I'm honest. Maybe a Zed.
Yeah, I got a deal for you, my friend.
So it's made me interested. It's, but at the same time, do I want to let go of the STI? Probably not. Unless I could leverage the cash to get enough to, you know, get into the Zed, have enough cash left over to get myself into a blob eye STI. That'd be pretty happy.
And probably a year's worth of a Porto. You know that? We've got to make sure that's a bonus. You know what I'm saying?
I like where your head's at, Alam. It's interesting. You're in the, how would we explain this? You're in good stead with your car currently, I think.
I am.
Mr. $200,000 STI over there.
Hey, I'm not the one that decided to stop selling him.
That's true.
I just took advantage of the situation.
Scotty Doe.
Getting better, pretty much. So
have
my
you got,
weekend.
You got COVID, Scotty?
Nah. I've done all the tests, not COVID.
The flu, I think.
So
that's really bad.
Cold and starting to lose my voice again after teaching.
Uh-oh.
So back at work, my voice comes back in the morning, teach one session, and my voice is gone again.
Sounds about right.
Yep.
Because he's yelling all the time, you kids don't quiet down. That's it.
Well, I tell you what, they're more naughty when they know that you're not feeling the best.
Yeah. You should do Auntie Donna Vernon Kelly where you just put a one on the whiteboard. It's your lunchtime, guys. I'm not worried. You
just
know?
Tell them where to go. Yeah. Kids, just let them know where they need to go.
Some of them I can just give them the look. I'll just give them a look and they stop.
Oh, no, I'm just telling them. You should tell them to go get fucked.
Can you give us the look now, Scotty?
As a teacher, that look is part of the profession. Wait, Scotty's going to give us a look. I know this is...
Daddy gave the look. We would all sit there and
piss out. My eyes will go a bit wider and I'll just look at them and go...
Whoa. What do I need to do, Scotty?
Wait, are these primary school kids or are they high school kids?
Primary.
Primary, yeah, you could do that. If you're a male teacher in primary school, you're just king. It's very easy to keep control.
So, but, I mean, we're making for great podcast material. We're doing visuals right now, but Scotty gave the gave the look of like death. So it was ultimate dagger. So just putting it out there, not bad, Scotty. I like it.
Yeah, no, anyone that's had, you know, been in primary school with like a PE teacher, male PE teacher, even a midlife crisis, they've seen that look. So, you know, people can visualize. It's one of those, you know,
it's something universal. It's something you learn at uni in the last year.
Yeah.
The whole unit.
It's just called the look.
The look.
Yeah. It's not really.
No, it's not.
The final exam is like there's a little kid there who's being a brat, and you got to make him cry, otherwise you don't pass.
there's studies like pedagogy and Bloom's taxonomy, and then you get the look. That's your final subject.
Exactly.
They actually should teach that, you know, like class control.
They should teach that at uni. I'll tell you what.
I feel it's one of those things you learn as a dad. Yeah, that look.
Oh, and you're a father, Alan?
No, I've had that look from a father many times.
Somebody gonna get hurt real bad.
Yeah,
hey, son, bought another car. The look.
The look.
The look. And that is one look, Scotty, I don't want to be on the receiving end of.
Sometimes you can do the combo. You do the look and the click.
Ooh.
My finger cannot sit in. Or listening, you give them the look and you go, hang on, get that camera, go.
And, the point.
Yeah, and the point. Yeah. The click and the point down.
Click and the point. And then they go, ooh, sit down.
So you got to be careful. A lot of these, like, one time we were in the library and a young man named Jack was messing around on top of the tables. And the librarian, you know, put on his authoritative voice and said, Jack, off the table. And I think it didn't end up having the effect that he wanted because he kind of lost control there.
Hell, I would have laughed at that if I said that.
But then you lose the authority of this. That's
can't help it. I'm still immature. It's funny.
Kids are vicious creatures. You can't show any weakness.
This is true.
Anyway, more about teaching talk here on Car Talk. How's the cars doing?
They're still just sitting around.
Yeah.
I got the inspection done for the Subaru. That's booked in for the 7th. Of June.
What's that? Have what done?
Get the damage fixed.
Oh, the truck. That's right. Yeah, I forgot about the ding.
Yes.
Yep.
So I got that one booked in. That's about it.
They giving you a rental car? Still on the bus.
Yeah, I'll get a loan car off them.
Yeah. It'll probably be some or kind of high end though.
I don't care what it is. It would be all right if it's manual, but I highly doubt it. It would probably be auto.
Yeah. I mean, their 6 speeds aren't bad. We had some experience, didn't we, Rizzy? With a nice i30.
Look, what can I say? That brand just causes me heartache.
Rizzy ain't no i30 man.
We tested that out. We were even at Sandown not doing what we think we were doing once upon a time with an i30. And yeah. The sedans. Anyway, that's a bit off topic. Back to the host.
Back to the host with the most.
Back to me. Well, see, I mean, the sedan's an Elantra, isn't it? Is it a sedan or an Elantra? Overseas, because it's they call it the i30 sedan here, but I wasn't sure if it's an i30.
What do you reckon of the rear of those?
It's interesting. It looks like you know in South Park when they get angry and they cross their eyes and they go in like that.
Yes,
that's what the rear. Right, yeah. It reminds me. Reminds me of that.
I'm always going to see that now.
But you know what? I see them and I actually don't mind the look of them. I think they're quite a nice looking car.
It's very angular.
Yeah, it's. So. But they aren't they quite a bit expensive as well? I thought compared to the hatchbacks.
They're very pricey. Yeah, I was surprised how expensive they were.
I think they're approaching closer to Sonata if they still make them, but I don't even know if they make the Sonata anymore.
I don't think so.
Hmm.
That's long gone.
No, they still make it, but I don't think we get it anymore.
Oh, okay.
That'll be a good thing.
Yeah. Moving on to Edward.
Hello.
Hello. Updates and what's happening in your world?
Well, there's been a car development. What did we talk last time? What did we talk last time about? Still got the Orion. Yeah, Orion's still for sale. But I have purchased another vehicle from. It's going to become part of the permanent Edward fleet. It's not a car.
Better not be a Falcon, I swear.
It's not a Falcon. It's not a Falcon. I'm still keen on the Falcon.
He needs a. You need a Falcon in your fleet. Just a hard-working Falcon. You need.
No, you don't. I don't. But
no, you do.
Nah. Anyway, I've purchased a car of someone that you know, Mr. Prince, who's not here tonight. He's decided to downsize a couple of his little scampy vehicle collection Hondas, and I couldn't resist the little 600 big block. So it's air cooled. It's a big block 600cc. It's a twin cylinder. It's a 3-speed automatic. And all of these things on paper would lead you to think, why would you ever want that car, Ed? But that's what I thought before I drove it. Now I drove it and I was like, this thing is so sweet to drive. I couldn't resist. So
you purchased a?
I've purchased the 1971 Honda Scamp 600cc from David.
From David. Cool. So it's gone from one member of the show to another member of the show.
One member of the show to another member of the show. That's
how long has he had that car for? He's had it for a while, hasn't he?
He's had it about 5 years. Before that, another club member had it for about 15 years. And before that, it was the original old lady owner. So we looked at the old roadworthy when David got it. And in the last 5 years, it's totaled 500 miles. So it hasn't done a whole lot of driving. And I said, this car needs to be used more. So on Sunday, I took it down to a friend's and back down the freeway, and it was zipping along like a little motorcycle. And I took my Bluetooth speaker, so I had 60s and 70s tunes playing on the speaker. It has no radio; it's never had a radio in it. And so I'm driving along in this thing at 60 miles an hour, listening to 60s tunes, and I was like, "This is a time machine. This is as close as you'll get to a time machine."
So it's a 71, you said?
71, yeah.
And it's blue, yeah.
It's a light metallic blue. Yeah. You've had a drive in David's red one just a few weeks ago, Matty.
Yeah. I really like that.
You need to have a go in this one.
Is it on club plates?
Yeah, club plates. Yep.
So have you transferred it into your name yet?
Not yet. I'm getting a roadworthy on Friday. So then it'll get, once I've got the roadworthy, I'll transfer it over.
And this is a permanent stay?
It's a permanent stay. I mean, this car is totally original, 22,000 miles since new. Like, it's a very, very untouched and unmolested example, the likes of which you will probably never see again in your life. And I like it. You know, it's like I've got the city, I've got the Mini, and now I've got the little Japanese Scamp.
Yeah, so you've got the city Japanese, you've got the Mini English, and you've got the Scamp. 600 Scamp Japanese. So you need to get a like an Isetta or something to get that whole French, the whole kind of set.
The little cars, I do inherently prefer little cars to bigger cars, as much as I like driving around in like the Tarago or the Mercedes 300, but even those are not that big, you know. They're not S-class sort of sized cars. So, yeah, it's just totally joyous to drive. It's rack and pinion steering. It's power-boosted brakes. It's silky smooth automatic, which is remarkable given that Honda developed that transmission themselves. I was reading up on them. Apparently, back in the late 60s, they went to BorgWarner to develop a transmission for them for the Honda Scamp. And BorgWarner said no, either because they didn't want to do it or it was too expensive or whatever. For whatever reason, BorgWarner said, no, we're not going to do it. So Mr. Honda went and developed his own transmission, and it's a peach, and you just think what a remarkable engineering feat, you know. For that, that's why Honda were just so ahead of the game for so many years. You can really tell from this car they put a lot of thought into
into the design and the way it worked.
Well, isn't the reason why Toyota became Honda kind of became Honda because due to wanting to push the boundaries further? Like, well, isn't that the kind of the whole idea?
Yeah, well, he was certainly very good at that. And they'd had years of motorcycle manufacturing, and then they went into the first cars were not actually this one. They were in the US, but the first cars worldwide were the S600 and S800 little convertibles from the late 60s. Very pretty little cars, quite dainty, but well put together. And they were twin cylinder sort of air cooled as well, I think. And then this was the first sort of, passenger car they did, or even though it's tiny, it's the size of a Mini. It's got the same tires as on my Mini, actually, that, it's little 10-inch wheels. But, I don't know. There's just something about it. When you drive it, you can't help but smile driving this thing.
Yeah, I want to go with that. I really want to go with it.
It's very, very likable. So, yeah, I really enjoy driving it around all weekend, and I look forward to using it a little more than maybe Mr. Prince got to.
You're bringing it out Sunday for a
well, it highball? It may well, yeah, the old highball, because I've got the only other car I've got in town is the City, so it may make an appearance, yeah, unless you want the Orion to rock up.
I was thinking more Orion. What do you think, Scotty? Yeah. Orion? I think Orion. Like, I think that's...
I think so.
Oh, congratulations, Mr. Bunny. That's awesome.
Yeah, another little machine. That Mini that I bought, I did buy that other 67 Mini off my friend. That I will have to on-sell, because the Scamp sort of piqued my interest more than that Mini. And the reality is the Mini needs a little bit more money thrown at it, which I've currently run out of. So I think that I think that needs to go. But it's a great, in fact, I advertised it yesterday, and I had a call from the guy that restored it back in the late 90s. He said, I know that car, and he's actually toying with buying it back.
All right. So
that would be lovely if he did, because that'd be, he knows the car, obviously. But who knows, Who knows?
Now, what's happening with that, the Red 16? Is that on the back burner,
it's a little bit back burner. The motor is still with the motor guy. He's got two blocks, and he was pulling them apart to see which is the best donor block to build the new motor out of. And that's a slow burn. He's got a lot of other projects on, and I hear from him once every few months, pretty much. So, that car will get done. I dragged out all the press material last night and had another look through it. Actually, all the press photos of that car, the Wheels magazine with that car in it, all of that. So I'm partway there. I had welding done. I had the wheels all powder coated and straightened, and they're ready to go. I've got a lot of the bits sitting there ready to go back on it, but I'd like to do the motor and get the brakes done and da-da-da. But, I just bought another rather large property. I don't want to say large property. It's large for me, I suppose. You can fit a lot of cars in it type property. And for my future, I can't use it at the moment, but for the future. And so... that's taken a lot of coin, all the money's sort of drained from my accounts. And but nevertheless, there was room for one more Scamp. There's room for one more at the inn. But I think I might sell the white Renault that my brother has, he's been using it, but I think I might sell that to sort of part pay for Scamp and just reduce the fleet by one, maybe.
Is he still keen on that car?
My brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, he really likes it, but... it's not, I did say to him, do you want to buy it off me? And he said, I talked to him tonight. And he sort of said, probably not the right time to buy it. But, I said, well, other than that, I'll sell it, but then I might park one of my other fleet cars up at his house and he'll get to use that. So he loves this little free freight train of, use Ed's cars, but don't actually have to own them.
It's the best kind of way.
Yeah, best kind of way, exactly.
Congratulations.
I'd
love to see some pictures of it. I've actually never seen that car in person.
Really?
I've never seen it in person. David's always talked about it, but I've never seen it in person.
Oh, you have to come around and see it, or I'll drive it to you. Any excuse to drive it, I will. I love driving it.
Yeah, absolutely. Come around. Adrian, you had a big week. What's happening?
Hello. I am good. I'm tired, very tired. Just came back from Bathurst. Went up to the 12-hour, which is a lot of fun.
Bathurst.
Yeah. So
how was it?
Oh, it was absolutely fantastic. Highly recommend. Bucket list item for any car person, I'd say. So the only disappointing part about this year is that a lot of the teams couldn't actually get through our borders. So all there really was Mercedes, Audi, and Porsche. So like all the rest of the teams, like Bentley, BMW, McLaren, Aston, none of them rocked up.
Yeah.
They couldn't get through the borders.
Shame.
Yeah, so that was the only disappointing part.
And that was the 12-hour you went to, yeah?
Correct.
Yeah, so like everyone says like Bathurst is like a pilgrimage every car guy has to do or car person has to do.
Look, I wouldn't personally go to the Bathurst 1000 just because there's a lot more, should we say, interesting people that go that like to consume lots of lemon squash.
And you're saying it's a bogan event, Adrian?
Look, I'm not saying anything. But no, the 12-hour was a lot better. Like, we actually got to see a lot of the racing, same as, like, all the events, like, with other cars, as in if they join in. I can't think of what the word's called. But it's, like, different series of racing were there as well. So there was, like, the 86 series of racing. There was combined sedans.
Apparently the 86 like a series is phenomenal because everyone's the same car. It's just good racing.
Yeah, I got bored. I don't like 86s. But nah, in all seriousness, though, it was a lot of fun. Like the combined sedans was my favorite part. You get to see like XV8 supercars racing with like XC Falcons. And then there's, God, there was a Swift with an SR20. There was just like all these. Oh, they had a Mazda 6 there, a brand new one that had an LS in, and it was racing around the track.
What? Which
was, yeah, it was absolutely hilarious because, like, you see it coming up and you're like, oh, okay, cool, it's a Mazda 6, like the new shape. And you're like, oh, well, that's fair enough. And then you hear it go past and you're like, is that a V8? You wait until the next lap and you're like, yes, it is a V8. So that was hilarious to see.
Did you drive there or did you fly there?
Oh, we drove.
Nice.
8 hours each way.
And what car did you drive there?
So we we couldn't decide which one of our cars to take because we're like, no, it's not reliable enough. So we rented a car.
What car did you rent?
So this is one of those typical things where it's like, you know you're a car guy when you can't trust your own car. So, that's kind of what happened. And we went to Budget because my mate gets, like, very good discounts from there. And we hired it was supposed to be an X-Trail. We're like, oh, that's not bad. Ended up being a cash guy. And that little nugget drove us all the way there and back. And I got to
say, not a good car.
Pardon?
They're not a good car.
No, I would never own one, but... The nugget got us there and back, and that's the main thing. We tried to spin the wheels on gravel. Didn't work. We tried to spin the wheels in the wet. Didn't work. It was just a nugget. We realized that I think it has a speed limiter on it at 130 because you can't go past 130 even downhill with the wind behind you.
So you're saying your M3 and your mate Skyline and all those other cars, the Liberty and stuff, you did not trust any single one of those cars?
No. My M3 I don't trust because I got fuel pump issues with it. It's just under half a tank. It wants to buck and surge. And if I'm going up a hill, I don't trust it. I've also got, you know, the typical BMW suspension knocks. So...
Scotty's just that. Listening going, good luck.
So my mate's 34 has really big fuel card issues, which is getting to the point now where he can't even accelerate, like going up a hill, because it's just doesn't want to move. So he's actually gone to the next level and deleting the ECU. He's got another one coming.
Well,
he thinks that that's the issue.
But that car's like brand new. It's like 20,000 k's.
No. That doesn't mean it's brand new, okay? Because a car's got less k's than it should, doesn't mean it's better.
It can mean that it's worse.
But the amount of issues that this bloke's had with this car, like,
it's because no one ever drove the car. If you have a car that's from 98 and it's got 30,000 Ks, what do you expect to happen? It never gets driven.
Yeah. Everything dries out a lot faster.
Oh, it dries out. Things don't work. The tune, like, nothing works on that car properly. And it's not his fault. It's the people that he bought it off for. I think it was for a year to a year and a half. It just sat outside in the street doing nothing before he owned it. Not even under a carport.
So not it's good.
It's disappointing. But then my mate's Lib, the head gasket started to go again. So I laughed at him.
Didn't he change the motor in that?
Yes. And someone helped him change that motor. And then it's gone and done the whole head gasket issue again. So that's
fine. A new motor doesn't equal a new head gasket, Adrian. You know,
it was secondhand motor. We just
that's what I mean. You can't just shove a secondhand motor in, think that all your problems are gone away.
You yes, gotta, you can.
You got to deal with the cause.
No. Both his face and my face. You know the Pikachu face that's on the internet when something goes wrong. It's...
Yeah.
That was me. And my mate's Falcon keeps on. He keeps destroying the clutch cable.
Oh jeez. Okay.
So yeah, we're just like we don't trust any of these cars. So no. So yes, we hired a car, drove up there, it was fun. Next year I'm towing my car up. Which I'll explain at a whole another time why. But yeah,
I'm Zane's gonna take it out on the track, isn't he?
No, I can't. I'm not gonna take it on the track. Not during that time.
It'll do one lap and then do rod bearings and then do
Vanos issues. The wheel will fall off.
Subframe. The subframe
will be at the top of the mountain. I'll be at the bottom of the mountain.
the window regulators will all stop.
Yeah, he'll be like, "Oh, it's getting a bit hot in this car," and he'll try and put down the windows. Nah,
just not. The roof will be half open, just flapping around.
It's funny. Nah. It's funny that, like, you mentioned that because I came across a Adam LZ video. And I don't watch much of his stuff, but he got his first car back, which is an E46. Yeah, and he's like
325i.
He's like, the amount of window regulators I put in that car, and they're still broken. Yeah, like
I've never broken a window regulator. My dad's car has. We've replaced it once with a brand new one. That was like 7 years ago now. But I've never had the issue again since.
Have you put the window down?
What? He's kept it up. He's just kept it up.
It's taped up. That's why. That's why.
There you go.
Yeah. So, no. Well, honestly, if you guys ever get a chance, go to Bathurst. It's well worth it. I know everybody says it, but it's a lot steeper in real life.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You don't realize it until you're actually there. Like, even, like, pitch straight, the main straight, when you actually look at it on TV with the V8s, it looks like it's basically flat.
Hmm.
But no, it's got full mountain.
Full
like
curve.
From last corner to first corner, it's just like a full mountain.
Hmm.
I mean, like, the first time I played that track in Gran Turismo and in, Forza and stuff, I freaked out because when you watch it on TV, you don't see the elevation changes that much. No. But in the game, you can see it, and it's just like, whoa! I didn't realize it was this steep. And I'm imagining it in real life, it'd be even crazier.
So we would. I basically got VIP parking because originally I was going to take my car.
Mm-hmm.
So all it does is just means that we don't have to walk, you know, 3 kilometers to get into the track. So we use that, which means that we enter from the main gate down the bottom. Mm-hmm. And we basically stayed a lot of the time at the last corner. That's where like our spot was, because it was close by to the entrance.
Mm-hmm.
We could see everything. And then also when you turn around, there was like a little like car show thing that was there, which they had a Ferrari F40.
Ooh.
So that was really cool to see. They had 2 Lamborghini STOs, Jaguar, I think it's the F-Type. The really cool V8 sounding one in convertible. They had a SLS that was convertible.
that had more Porsches than I care to see in my life again. I hate Porsches. What else is it? They had the Mercedes brand new AMG electric car thing, hatchback thing.
Yeah.
So that was, I guess, okay to see. It's electric. They had a couple of the newer AMGs as well, and they had a mock-up of Alan Moffat's RX-7.
That's cool.
Oh yeah,
that was cool. They started that up every now and again, so that was really cool to see. Then they had like a little merch area, which was like, yeah, okay. The pit straight was cool to see. It's like you're watching the TV and you're like, oh, okay, you can see the cars, they're going to come past and all that. And you look down and you can see them come past as it's showing on the TV. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's right, I am here. Then I went up to the top of the mountain. They got a shuttle that goes from the bottom to the top.
Yeah, right, that's bus. Cool.
We went there. We stayed a bit just after the third corner and where the sand trap is. So, like, basically the skyline. That was cool watching the cars through there. And then we decided to go all the way to the other side where the dipper was. And the dipper, oh my God. Like, again, you see it on TV and you're like, oh, okay, you know, it is what it is kind of thing. Where we were, I'd say, about a meter and a half above the dipper, because that's where the grass is. You could see the whole dipper. Then you don't see anything for like Forest Alvo. You can see the whole of Conrod Straight. You can see the chase. You can see the last corner. You can see the first corner. Like, you can see everything from up there.
Oh, wow, that's mad.
It's just you're like on top of the world. And it was really cool being up there because it rained a bit. And when it rains, like, we were looking at Conrod Straight, and you can see all the spray coming off the back of the cars. You're like, that was awesome. The only part I got upset about, and it's only because of the fact I actually like the car, is the two Mustangs. They both didn't finish. Oh. They were in the invitational class. One of them within the fifth lap must have thought that he was a Mustang again on the street, and he tried to go into the wall to get up into the crowd.
So that'll happen.
He binned it.
It Mustanged. Yep.
Yep. And the other one, I don't know what happened to it. I think it blew the motor. But at one point, he was second overall.
Oh, right.
And he wasn't even in the big boy classes.
Hmm.
So, but yeah, no, that both of those cars were cool. They had a KTM Expo, which is like the race car, I guess, that they made.
Yeah, it's a track car.
Yeah, and that had an Audi A5 motor in it.
All right.
Which was really cool. There was a ton of Audi R8 V10s. They were okay, I guess. Like, you hear it once, and then you see them go past again and again and again. You're like, okay, I've had enough of this. there was one Lambo Hurricane, which I thought was going to be the car that broke straight away because it's a Lambo, and it lasted the whole time. Like, and he came, I think it was fifth overall.
It's not bad.
I don't know how he did it.
Had a weird paint job, that one, too.
Yeah, it's like the target color. It was weird.
Yeah, it looked weird.
And then the Mercedes were cool. They sound very weird going past you on the track, though. Like, on acceleration, because you can hear, like, the V8, but it's very, very muffled because they're twin turbo.
Mm.
So it was very interesting hearing those, like, go past you. And I've got to say, I'm very happy for the guy that got second, because the whole of Saturday, he wasn't there to practice or qualify or race or anything like that.
And what was he in?
Pardon?
What was he in?
The white Mercedes.
Yeah.
So he had a motor issue. They spent all the Saturday building it up. He started the race in last and came second.
It's pretty good.
And he was like hovering between 8 to 9 seconds behind the driver who won, and they just kept alternating. One lap he'd be 9 seconds, next lap he'd be 8 seconds behind, and he just kept alternating trying to catch. So it was really cool seeing like that. But the best part over it all is the part where you wake up at 4:30 and you watch the start of the race in the dark.
That's cool.
So we had fog all over it as well. And seeing the cars like at nighttime, it's, you can't even explain it. It's just like another level. Like you just see all the cars, you see the lights, you see the brakes glowing. You just see everything.
Yeah.
So it was awesome. And then you can hear like when it's, you've got no cars in front of you because they've all like spread out the pack a bit. All you can hear is the cars going up the first straight. So you can hear the cars like going up and then you see cars coming back down that way and you're like, wait, they already came?
Yeah.
But yeah, apart from that, honestly, man, it was really good.
That's awesome. That's something I definitely want to do. I'd love to see the 12-hour. They've got some really cool cars that go and sounds like you had a great time.
Yeah. So I know next year they said that they're going to be getting most of the field back again, which is what I'm hoping for. Oh, and also, I don't know if you guys know the driver, Jordan Cox.
He's like a youngish guy.
Yeah. So he was in the improved production class until they got rid of that class. Now it's called combined sedans. He's famous for when he had his EG Civic. He was versing a Toyota Celica on the track that was SR20 turbo powered. And he was beating that Celica up like around the mountain on three wheels. Because he was turning that hard. So he was there, and I actually got to see his racing in person. And holy shit, can that man drive? It was wet, it was foggy, and he's still just dominating. I couldn't believe it. I'm talking like against like the V8 big boys as well. It's just darting in between them.
Yeah, he's a he doesn't know anything but 10/10ths. That guy. He's very on the limit. He's a talented driver. I'll give him that.
Yeah, he really is. So, but yeah, so that was my whole weekend. And yeah, as I said, can't recommend going enough.
Awesome. We might have to get there next year. Rizzy Ross.
Look, obviously, we can't top the kind of weekend that Adrian had. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, the highlight being driving around in UK's most popular SUV, the Qashqai.
It is UK's most popular SUV.
And it's a couple of things. Nothing on the car front as such, apart from the fact that I got another call from the dealer this time talking about the 400Z prices and just stuff in general that we already know anyway.
Have you got an allocation?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
So that's all sorted. No issues at all.
Which spec are you going for? Are you going for the base or the...
I think the base if I was going for that, but I think we might have to call that quits. My brother, it's going to be a while before he can get the car that he wants due to production issues, I think. Well, not production, but COVID issues. So we're not selling the XC60, and then we don't have room for the 400Z. So I spoke to the dealer. There is a chance. He said, we'll keep your spot if you want to transfer into someone else's name. We'll just reissue the paperwork. And there is a doctor that I'm aware of. Some may call him Dr. Dre off ACT that might be interested in that vehicle.
Like, doctor, Ed, you find the 400Z?
It's not made by Honda, so he can't.
He can't, yeah.
And plus, it's not the big block 600.
Yeah, no, it's too big an engine for me.
That's pretty easily sorted, Alum, if the finances and other things work with you. If not, then, you know, I'll just tell the guy, hey, dude, it's not, you know, we've got other cars now, so... that allocation could go to someone else who would want it more than us, I guess.
I appreciate that, Rizzy Ross.
You know, you got to crunch the numbers. You got to
balance the budget. You know, there's an election coming up. Things are getting expensive.
That's exactly, you know what I mean. Like, as you know, it won't be easy under Albanese, if you know what I mean. And you know, who not, who, there's stuff that I could say about ScoMo that, you know, may not be appropriate for our PG rated audience on this podcast, if you know what I'm saying. So,
does it involve shitting your pants at a McDonald's?
Could possibly involve that. I did see something funny today, but anyway, I'll share that in the chat for our video viewers. But I think that's all on my end. I think I'm probably, you know, if our main man Alan, if it doesn't work for him, then I'll just in a week or so call him back. But they're not even that fussed about it. They're just like, oh, we'll be back in touch with you when we know a little bit more about the actual allocations.
Yeah.
And that could take a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So they're not fast. They'll sell it if it needs to. But 81 grand, I think it is. Mm. So apart from that, that's all that's happening in my car world, peeps.
Matthew, what about you?
With me, not a lot, to be fair. No, I have got an update, actually. Edward, he's been, him and myself have been looking for this original factory head unit for the MR2. Oh,
yes. Hang on, when you say we've been looking, you basically said, I can't find a radio in here. I sent you about three Camrys that are the old late 80s shape. Yeah. That for sale that had it, and you're like, oh, I've got to inquire. I finally sent another one in a last ditch attempt, listeners. I sent another one. And I said, here, it was an Ultima. I think it's got the right stereo in it. And then what happened, Matthew?
So I messaged the bloke and I'm like, hey, how you doing? Interested in the stereo from the camera you've just posted? He's like, yep. Come down tomorrow, have a look. It all works. It's all good. The liquid crystal display is a little bit crap, but the equalizer works. Everything works with it. So I was like, you know what? I can probably get that repaired. So I took it out. But when taking it out, because those top-end stereos were installed by Toyota Australia. So that they in the MR2 and the Camry V6 and Ultima, which that one came with, their higher end stereos were installed here. They weren't installed at the factory, which is quite interesting. So, as you guys know, back in the 80s and the early 90s, radio theft was quite a big thing. So the way they put the radio in, there was two bolts at the top, and underneath they put pop rivets. They pop riveted them in.
Wow,
I had not seen that before. Even the guy I was taking it out with the wrecker there, and he's like, I haven't seen one of this in a while. He's like, in the late 80s, early 90s, they pop riveted stereos in to stop people from nicking them because that's how crazy it was. So after we got the drill out, we drew it out the holes, managed to get it out, cut a bit of the extra loom just to have. But it was really a bit of a shame because the car had only done like 127,000 Ks. It hadn't really done that many Ks. And I mean, the body was pretty tight on the body, yeah, but interior was really clean. And he had some really interesting cars there that were like, you know, old estate, you know, people with, like old people's cars that now, you know, are worth nothing, but with low kilometers and in good condition. Like he had this first gen XL there that had 60,000 Ks on it. And he had a 121 from like 91 that had 60,000 Ks in it. So he's like, yeah, I just don't have the heart to reckon, but who wants these cars, you know, like, and they're not exactly a safe car. They're not exactly, you know, anything special. They're just kind of a car. And I'm just like, well, us on this show would appreciate that. But it's kind of it is kind of a shame that they're getting wrecked. I mean, he's selling the 121. He's got that with a roadie and ready to go. But the XLE is like, yeah, I think I'm just gonna wreck it. And I was like, oh, it's a shame. It was in really good nick. But it got me wondering how many cars like that are half decent, you know, just get thrown away. And I was reading in New Zealand, they're pushing for this clean emissions thing, so that they're going to pretty much try to get as many you know, combustion cars off the road ASAP, which they've just announced. So a lot of good cars that have nothing wrong with them are going to meet their demise, which is, you know, kind of a waste if you ask me. But yeah, we'll have to see if Australia follows suit, which I doubt, but we shall see.
That sort of reminds me on Top Gear many, many years ago. They were talking about they had cash for clunkers or some sort of a thing over there in the UK. That's the one. For a bit of time. And I don't think we'll get there because our fleet overall in Australia is relatively young. I think the average age is around 9 years. It seems a lot, but these days cars last and last and last. But you're right, Maddie, like there's some, like in New Zealand, obviously with their back in the day import rules, and our doctor here can also appreciate that because, you know, our doctor's been around, if you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
And they have some of the most unique sort of cars because of the import sort of situations back in the day. Nissan Bluebirds, you know, we're a fan of that particular car on this podcast. And just like Forester Turbos and all sorts of awesome, awesome cars that we never got here. So I wonder if they're going to, sort of those cars are going to end up being scrapped to make room for, you know, we're more than likely electric cars, but there's just not the same level of supply with electric cars as there was with those near, you know, relatively good condition Japanese cars that were coming in.
Yeah, that is true. So I guess it's all supply and demand and see how many we can get in. But anyway, gentlemen, getting on to tonight's topic. Affinities. Now, we're not talking about Infinities, Nissan's failed attempt at coming to Australia for the second time. We're talking about affinities that we have with certain cars or brands or things about cars that we must have. Now, I got thinking about this the other day because obviously I spoke to Mr. Prince and he, you know, he's got a strong affinity with Honda and you know, he's just buys Hondas and that's kind of what he does. And I think he's buying another one or going in maybe a different route, but how did you guys get an affinity to own the cars that you do that you have owned? Like it could be Japanese cars. It could just be like, oh, I really like turbocharged cars or I really like, you know, Aussie muscle or whatever it is. I want to know how you guys came to like have an affinity for a certain car. And you know, despite knowing its flaws, still wanting to say, you know what, I'm happy to go along with that and enjoy the ride, if you know what I mean. So if affinities with cars that you've owned or if cars, even if you haven't owned, but you'd like to own one day, what makes you like that car so much that or range of cars that would help you consider to buy one or to own?
It's a very deep topic, that one.
Very deep topic.
Deep and meaningful is how we like to get down on a Tuesday night in with Car Talk. So it's not love song dedications. It's affinity dedications and.
So, I guess, Adrian, maybe you can start off, man, and tell us about your affinity with the cash car.
You mean the car that I would never own in my life?
Or the Bavarian Motor Works.
He's a sucker for pain. I think that's the answer. He's a sucker for pain.
I never knew what it meant.
Yep, Bavarian Motor Works, I believe, and Edward would know if that's true or not because
Yeah, the official name is Bayerische Motorenwerke. Being German for Bavarian Motor Works, correct.
That was a very age-old quiz question, I think.
I think it was. Yeah.
Oh, actually, hang on, just quickly, while I remember, Maddie,
yo,
look what I found. Do you see what this is?
It's a 180 SX.
Yep.
Is that an auto white one?
Automobile.
Yeah.
It's the only SJC young people like us can afford now. Yeah.
Well, I used to have one identical to that.
The operative word being used to.
I just looked across and I saw it then. All right, to answer your question on why I like certain cars, as I keep going through them.
Nissan NX Coupe, Falcon.
The NX is...
Toyota Chaser, Magna.
All right.
M3.
Do I start from the start or do I just like give a rundown?
Why do you like those?
Why have you got? Why did you get an affinity to, let's say, for example, BMW? Because you've owned a 7 Series, you've owned now an E46.
Main reason
didn't he say he's a glutton for punishment?
He is.
Main reason was is the chaser got broken into, basically stolen in my eyes, and they did something that didn't draw a crowd as much, basically, but was still fun to drive. And that's where the M3 came. And it's still got power. Yeah, convertible. That's fun. And people look at it and go, oh, it's just a standard 3 Series. That I don't understand, yeah, the difference between them, which is what I liked. And then I'm me and I can't stop touching cars, and now it is what it is. So that's the whole reason I got into those. I still appreciate Jap cars. Will I ever own one again? Not a chance. No, I don't want another one.
Wow.
I just not interested. I like my German stuff, and I will own more BMWs coming to the future.
What about a nice Mercedes? Would you ever be tempted?
A C63, like W204, if they ever go down in price, mm-hmm. Yes. But apart from that,
okay.
One day, if I ever get around to it, which is probably never going to happen, the old Land Barges, the Barges with the pillarless windows, two-door, the old Mafia mobiles.
Like my coupe? Is that what you're talking about?
Correct. I don't know. I've never seen your coupe.
Well, it's pillarless and it's a barge.
Is it the old, like, square one?
I don't know. Yeah, the square one, yeah.
Is it a 124?
Yeah.
I don't know if they're 124s or not. I don't know my Mercedes.
But brush up.
No. BMW is where it's at.
What about you, Scotty? Now, you've owned a fair few Japanese cars and European cars. How did you get your affinity to certain cars, like, for example, to Skyline, which I know you like quite dearly? How did that come? How did that happen?
I've gone through a few. Getting hooked on Skylines is an odd one. It's didn't come from movies. It didn't come from anything like that. It came from me researching kind of like for my first car and the Skylines Australia forums, really, is where I really got hooked onto it. I did tons of reading, going through everything and all the video clips people put up of their cars and going on cruises. And it stemmed from there. Like I wish forums were still huge because they're fantastic community.
Yeah.
And so much information you get from them compared to your Facebook groups and stuff now. It's just forums was just amazing back in the time.
Mm.
There's always funny characters that popped up there. You got a laugh of some of the things they posted up. But there was so much technical information in there. If you want to do something, most likely someone had already done it and written about it.
Yeah.
Up on one of the forums. So there was just stacks of information. Where to buy a car from, who to deal with, what you can do with it, parts that have worked. There's a whole section of just best turbos and dyno charts all put up there, up on the forum. So if you're after a certain turbo, have a look. There it is, dyno chart, how much power it made when it came on boost, just everything. And that's where I just self-taught and learned all my information from, and it just drew me into Skylines. I think it didn't stem from motorsport or anything like that, or, you know, the Fast and the Furious crowd. It just came from me doing my own research and stumbling across it, remembering some other Skylines that I'd seen around as I was still kind of new to the car fascination and getting into it. So it was pretty much just all self-learned, and then started watching heaps more clips and videos and documentaries that I could find. And that's when I started learning more about the motorsport history and all the different models of Skylines. And that's what really, really drew me in, is the more you know, the more it kind of just sucks you in and gets you really, really interested.
Absolutely.
And that's when I went through the stages of the four-door, and then I moved to the two-door, And then the two JDRs is what I've owned. But I think what stemmed me out to other cars is I've always wanted to always drive as many different cars as possible. Always want to try something new. So I never held on to them for very long because there's always something else that I might have searched up or seen and gone, ooh, I wonder what that would be like to drive. And then I begin my research again and having a look at the different models and what to look out for and things like that. So it led me into having a go in an Evo. And then it led me into the E46 M3 trap. but after owning one and getting to drive it, it was still a great experience. It was still a good experience. Yeah, it's a fantastic engine that's in those M3s anyway, so can't go wrong with that. It was good. I'm happy to share my experience. And when it was working, it was a fantastic car. It was great to drive. And then when I wanted to step back a bit and never owned a V8, I still wanted to stay in the Euro market and went for the C43. That was a nice car to cruise in. But because I couldn't really afford to have two cars and I just wanted that car that handled really well and not just to cruise around in, that's what got me back into a GDR again. And then money got involved when I went back to uni and things, and I still wanted to have a turbocharged car, but obviously I didn't have the funds anymore, and led me down to researching and looking at the Liberties, and that's how I ended up with one of those. Mm. So I think it just comes from me just doing a whole bunch of research, and that's what I really, really love to do when before I buy another car or anything, is to just research as much about them as possible, and that's where the forums were the best for it.
So would you say you've got...
And then I just get hooked.
So you wouldn't say you've got an affinity to one car. You'd say you more just wanted to try everything, and that's kind of where you sit. Not a fence sitter or anything, but more like a trialer.
Yeah, I wanted to have a go at everything. Rear wheel drive cars. I wanted four wheel drive cars. I wanted to try what, you know, straight sixes are like, V8s. That way, when people are talking about them, I've got that bit of an understanding.
Mm.
As to what they're talking about. I'm not going, oh, geez, I wish I had tried one of those. I wonder what it really would be like. I can actually do that. So, you know, if someone's like, oh, have you ever owned a Euro car? They're the best. I can actually say, yeah, I have.
Yeah.
And joining their conversation. Japanese cars, I can say the same thing. Obviously, I haven't really owned Australian cars and things like that. I've driven them, been around them. Don't really have a massive ambition to really own one. I came close with the Typhoon and things like that, but I just felt like it was just still too much of a big vehicle. I just liked the smaller four doors cars that came from Japan and Europe. So you had like your smaller five series. It wasn't really a big four-door car like the Fords and Holdens. I just still like that smaller size that they came in. But look, I will admit I still do have a massive soft spot and affinity for Skylines.
Yeah.
If I could own one again, other than the R31 that I've got now, I'd be all over it.
No, it's interesting. Now, if you had to go back to, like, if you had to buy one of the cars again, besides the Skyline, because we know you got the affinity for there, what would that one car be? You had to choose one out of all the cars, other cars that you
had to choose one.
Yep. And you have to live with it and enjoy it.
And it can't be a Skyline.
Can't be a Skyline. Like, it could even be a Liberty. It could even be the car you got now, and that'd be totally understandable.
Hmm. Well, since I can actually have own two cars, so I, you know, I can always have that project car, I'd probably lean towards the C43.
All right.
AMG, that thing was built nicely. I don't really see much going wrong with it. A fairly bulletproof bit of a tank, just fantastic car to daily, and you could comfortably take it to some car shows and just enjoy it in those kind of ways. Like it would be great for longer drives and things like that. And then if I wanted to do something a bit more sportier, then, you know, I could take out my project car or something like that. That's the kind of balance that I kind of wanted, but obviously you just don't have the funds. But, you know, if I could and go back, yeah, I'd probably lean towards that. Close with the Evo, but like I don't think I could live with just driving an Evo all day, every day.
Yeah. Now, I remember when you had that T43, you always said that it was a great car. You never had an issue with that. You said it was such a tight, strong car, and it had a lovely V8. And I mean, Ed's had that same V8, and he never had an issue with it. And it was just a real good engine.
It did a crank angle
sensor.
Yeah. Other than that,
and all the spark plugs.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Yeah. Other than that, the interior was nice. It held up really, really well. I guess if I still had it would be definitely getting on in K's. So I think when I had it, it had about 150, 160 maybe.
That's they'll do K's, absolutely. They're a great engine.
But yeah, it would probably just keep munching through. I'd say it'd be fine. I don't think parts would be as expensive as M3 parts.
No, I don't think so.
Because it's just kind of still based on a W202 anyway. Just
202 is a great car.
That, but yeah, I love the look of a 202. If someone said, look, as a daily, you've got to go and drive a Mercedes, I'd go for a 202. I love the shape.
Yeah, really like a 202. That was, yeah, again, in that era, like the end of the era of the quality Benzes. Edward.
Still got that badge. I still got the big 202 C43 badge.
Oh, that's awesome.
You rip it off.
How much would that be worth, you reckon?
A little bit.
The whole thing, the whole assembly.
I think we've talked about this, you know, before at some stage, but the cars that I've chased down have all had an effect on me when I was much younger. Whether it was my friends having one, my friends' parents having one, my parents having one, my aunt and uncle having one, whatever connection there was when I was a kid, if I was exposed to something as a kid, I certainly have had an affinity for it later.
Yeah.
And I've sort of chased, subconsciously even, I've chased down those cars. The whole reason I have three Renaults is because my parents' friends had a red old Renault 16 when I was a kid, and I would see it a few times a year and fascinated me. My grandma had the Mini that I still own. So, you know, that's been there since day one. You know, the Benzes, you know, we didn't have Benzes as a family, but family friends did. And so I had a very, I traveled in them, you know, on weekends. We'd, you know, you go around to their house, you go out somewhere, you go in the Benz, and those cars just had an effect on me. So hence, I'm chasing down everything that I was ever exposed to as a kid. I suppose the one difference to that, or the bit of my collection that is a bit different to that, are the Hondas. I wasn't exposed to Honda Cities or Honda Scamps or anything Honda when I was a kid, but that brand earned my respect over the years, just from people. You'd see people in Hondas, and you just, as I was older, sort of probably my 20s and 30s, you would, I can honestly say I don't think I've ever met a Honda owner that wasn't relatively happy with their car. You know, there's they may not have kept it that long for whatever reason, or they may have, you know, but they never had issues with them. You know, you meet a Honda owner, how was your Honda? By and large, they'll say, yeah, it was great. You know, I really like my Honda. You know, you can't say that about too many brands. And yeah, I suppose it was somehow the Hondas, out of all the Japanese makes, were the most interesting to me because they were a bit of an engineering-y company. They were involved in Formula One. They kind of made cars that punched above their weight. Like the simple Civic was just so good to drive, and such an economical and fun little lively car that, you know, in a way that a base Mitsubishi or a base Mazda wasn't quite the same. And I joined the Honda Car Club because of the I had a Civic at the time and I needed it to put on Club Reg, you know, the flatback 80s Civic. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'll join the Honda Club, $35 a year, why not? So I did that. And then you meet all the nice Honda people and then you, you know, go down the rabbit hole of owning some of those. But, yeah, I really that's a brand that probably earned my respect later on when I wasn't a kid so much.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because like a lot of people have that affinity because if like you know if their family had them and if their family had you know whatever car it was and or they've had a few of them and they've had a good run and they'll be like yeah well, I'm a Toyota guy because I just keep buying Toyotas because they just work and they, you know I can go to work and I know it'll if I get up in the morning it'll turn the key it'll start you know like I'm not worried about that and people as like I think the main point of tonight I was wanting to explain was. People get their affinities in many different ways. Like, for example, you didn't get a Honda affinity till later on, you know, and until you did that shitbox rally in that city, and it earned you.
Oh, yeah, that you know, doing that really cemented my love of the city. You know, that there's nothing like 8,000 k's in a week to kind of make you love or hate a car. And I came out the end of that going, damn, that's a good machine. You know, there's a very well thought out little machine, And it's now that, you know, people, like I was at the lights the other night and a guy puts his window down in a 3 Series and have you got the scooter that goes in the back, you know? And I said, oh, I don't, but friends of mine do, you know? So it's a car that now gets great accolades, but for a long time it was just a cheap little shitty Japanese hatch to most people, you know, to those who weren't in the know. Yeah, but now that I think back, you know, family friends of ours did have an Accord sedan in the 80s. They had a 5 Series E28 was the husband's car and then the Accord sedan was the wife's car. And I remember going in that Accord a few times thinking, gee, this velour upholstery is really nice. And it was so quiet and the doors had a nice sort of thunk to them. And I remember just thinking it was a really refined car. And this is an 83 Accord, which is not a particularly refined car by today's standards. But compared to the other trash around the 80s, that was. And so I suppose all those things did have an effect at some level. We think Honda cemented themselves in my mind as being good quality cars, well engineered, good quality Japanese cars, rather than say a Nissan Bluebird that was shoved together pretty badly by and large.
I guess that's all the cars that I sort of wanted after I got my license I could not afford. Sort of a similar sort of position to Scott, even, you know, look at some of the cars that you can possibly buy. So I ended up with a motorbike instead of a Supra. So it was a new bike and didn't really have an affinity with a particular brand as such. But like Scotty, I really wanted an Evo, wanted a Supra, Skylines, all the rest of it. But obviously being a broke boy, can't afford any of them. And then sort of, you know, when I was at uni, some Porsche had just launched their 918 Spyder, or they were talking about it and they were saying that car is going to be, you know, 0 to 100 in like 3.6 seconds or something like that. This is only like in 2012 when they launched that. And I was like, geez, if I could even get anywhere close to that car in terms of the speed or even get into a passenger seat with something like that, that would be amazing. Like my life dream would come true. And then, you know, many years later, somebody said to me, hey, if you don't know anything about Tesla, book a test drive. They won't sell you on anything. So I did. And that was the first day Maddie and I went to Tesla in Richmond and got a chance to test drive a Model S. It was different at that time. And then, yeah, a couple of years later, just by accident, ended up with the car that I have. And yeah, faster than the Porsche 918 Spyder. Just anything and everything. Just such a technologically advanced piece of machine in terms of how sophisticated it is. And it works like, you know, it's computers, which I've always loved. And the acceleration that you can't get out of it, pretty much any petrol car. And yeah, just the affinity with that brand. But I think it all really started in long time ago when I was in at school, and the teacher put on a documentary about Nikola Tesla, and he said they invented he invented electricity or alternating current. And I was like, well, nobody ever talks about him when they talk about electricity. People always talk about Thomas Edison and all the rest of it. And he was a bit of an underdog. And then this brand appeared. And I was like, I remember watching something about this Tesla person. Didn't know it was Elon Musk or whatever that started it. But yeah, just that affinity through an underdog that was never taken seriously. But what he invented, we all use it every day. And someone else got the credit for what he did. And then when this brand came out, went for, you know, test drive with Maddie and accidentally ended up with this. And I don't think I'd go back to another brand when it comes to what this, what they offer, and just the car getting better every couple of months. So that's just the long, long spiel of my affinity with Tesla.
Yeah, no, I can absolutely respect that, and I can see that, like, because they've been pretty flawless, you know. Just keep it going.
It's like a religion for you, Izzy.
It is. In fact,
for most people, Tesla is like a religion, a bit like
that. It's the cult of Elon Musk. You must pray to the altar, give your firstborn, and all that. anyway.
Just before you start, Alan, I do have to head off.
That's all good, mate.
It was good talking with you guys.
Hi, Adrian.
But yeah, I will probably be back next week.
Sounds excellent.
See you, Adrian.
Bye bye.
See you, Adrian.
Yeah, JDM for life. That's what I want to say. Cut it. I definitely think it's a nurture aspect. What's like Ed said, what was around when you were young, kind of things you saw. For me, at least, everyone's experience is obviously different. And I just started thinking back to all the cars we'd owned, and so much. It's just Japanese. It's like, you know, the Mitsubishi Sigma, and then you know. There was the day we had the Pajero for one day, or one night, I should say.
In the garage.
Yeah, the Honda Civic Shuttle, then my uncle's Honda Civic, my dad's Daihatsu Terios, the Corolla, Mazda 323, Suzuki SX4, you know. Well, then there's the one, you know, the old blue Camry. Then there's the Ford Falcon. And then, you know, far from that, the WRX, the STI, the MX-5. It's a lot of Japanese, and especially from the olden days, it was very much a New Zealand being a country that didn't produce their own cars, had a very open import market. They still do have a very open import market, and it was so easy to get, you know, cars that had the steering wheel in the correct position from Japan that were, you know, readily and cheap and a healthy supply. And it's kind of, I think it's very much influenced the car culture all over New Zealand when you consider it, you know. It's just a thing to have. And weirdly enough, even these days, like, it's not just obviously Japanese vehicles. It's also just, like, people getting Audis and stuff from Japan, just because, again, bringing them in from overseas still ends up being cheaper than buying them from a dealer. So that definitely, I think, had an influence. And then, you know, just games as well, and family members, like my uncle with his Legacy GT or the twin turbo, you know, seeing you know, Blob IWRXs on the road, that sort of thing. That, like, at least from the, we'll call it Evo / WRX side of the fight, you know, I've been on the Subaru side, but I'm not opposed to actually owning. I think, like Scott, I've also matured over time to think getting my butt into different cars and getting to experience, you know, a wide variety of things is probably one of the better ways to live my life as a car guy. Which is why, like, I tried to look at that Evo final edition, but I didn't get a response in time and it sold out from under me. But more recently, I'm looking at the Golf GTIs. It may not be the smartest purchase, but like I said, if it's not the only means of conveyance in the household, it doesn't matter if the car is, let's just say, you know, at the repair shop for a little long, if it needs to be. So, you know, getting that experience with different cars, because my experience has primarily been Japanese with a little bit of Ford. Yeah. I wouldn't mind, you know, trialing a bit of European stuff here and there. Unfortunately, I think the era of trying Australian cars has kind of ended. It's just going to be experience from, like, you know, maybe I might give a go in your XR8 Matty, you know, something like that. But, you know, or driving the F6, that sort of thing. The reason why I gave so much thought to possibly buying a challenger after graduating, even though it'd be a fiscally terribly irresponsible purchase. But, you know, it'd be the coolest car to have. Like, no one's got another, like a purple one, you know, like a purple challenger just running around. Oh, just, it'd be very unique. American muscle, you know, totally irresponsible given how much petrol costs these days. But it'd be something different. And it'd be another, I guess, another facet of life I can explore, you know, in the automobile industry. And even electric as well. Like Rizzy Ross is gone. I definitely see that there'll be an electric car in the cards for the household. We'll say it's for mum, but we'll all drive it around and, you know.
No, yeah. I think that's a really lovely way of looking at it. I mean, and it is about, like, you know, trialing those different things and different cars, and you get a new respect for certain things that you drive and things that you experience. And, you know, like, I'm much the same, you know, like, every time I drive something, I really, like, I'm like, wow, that was actually really cool. And you get a respect for it, and you kind of build a little bit of a bond, and then you go down a rabbit hole and build an affinity. So, like, my ridiculous affinity for 124s is based upon my shitty 124, because I know how much of a great car that they actually are, and however engineered they are, and you know, like, I still think that they're, you know, if not the best engineered car, one of the best engineered cars ever made, you know. And and I wouldn't say that about many other cars, you know, but like, stepping in that car and in comparison to other things in the 80s, but would it just be night and day in terms of quality? And still is today. Like, you close the door on that car and you're like, wow, you hear that thunk, and you know you're in a proper, you know, a proper vehicle. But I find it, like, it comes in many different ways, and you know, like, whether it be from family members or things that you've seen. But for me, a lot of it was from family members, you know, and you know, liking Fords and Toyotas in particular were big family things, because my uncles were mechanics for Ford, and were, like, you know, they had you know, always cool Fords, and but then they always had Toyotas as their you know, like, their four-wheel drive, their Hiluxes and stuff to get in their Land Cruisers to go off-road. And then they would always say, yeah, can't go wrong with a Hilux, Toyota, 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 Toyota. And I guess that's kind of where I built my affinity for, like, Camrys and things, because yeah, they're an appliance, but God, they're a good car. Like, they just work. And you know, if you want something that just works, that, you know, like, I would always say buy a Camry, you know. Like, I know a guy that just bought one recently, because he's like, I want a reliable car. And he's like, I don't really have an affinity to a brand, but I kind of want something. And I'm like, well, go for a Camry. Cause if you want something that's easy to drive and, you know, easy to maintain and cheap on fuel and everything else, Camry it is. And he's like, yep, that's what it is. And that's what he's in now. So, but yeah, like for me, like, the reason why I like small Fords in particular is because, like, my uncle had Escorts and stuff for years, you know, and, you know, yes, I did like a V8, but I was always like him, a fan of small, you know, 2-liter performance, you know, like things that are fun and nippy and like to get around corners. And I guess that's the kind of reason why I like the MR2 so much, because it essentially is that. Like, it's a car you can sit in and it's driving, as you would say, Edward. It's more of a visceral experience, and like, you don't get that with a lot of cars these days. But yeah, getting your head around driving all different things is, I think. Yeah, I think a great thing. And if anyone throws me the keys to anything, I'll be like, yeah, I'll give it a go. Like, you know, I'll see what it's like. And like, I wasn't really much of a Subaru fan or a you know, Mercedes fan in general until I got to experience them and said, yeah, and I would say, you know what, yeah, I'd own another Subaru. I'd love one. You know, I would happily take another Forester or a WRX or whatever it is if I could. So yeah, I guess I've built my affinities more from the actual experiences of having them around me and driving them and getting a new respect for them. Because if someone was to tell me, oh, you'd have an affinity for a Forester, I would have laughed at him about 5 years ago. I would have told him, you know, get the hell out of here. But after driving, I can see why people like them, and I can see why they're a cracking car. And yeah, I would absolutely do one again.
It's funny what Scotty said before about, you know, research, then you go choose what you want. Yeah. I've often, with stuff I've bought, I've often done the opposite. Like, well, I like that, buy it. And then And then I hunt down all the road tests and the articles to support my decision as to why it's a good car or not.
No, like I'm much like Scotty on that. Like I research the crap out of anything before I buy it. Like the Typhoon. Like I remember when I got that. I was, in year 7, year 8 when the car came out. I was reading magazines that were coming motor and wheels back to front. Up and down, sideways, whatever it was, just to get every bit of information I could about anything from that era. And that's why I think cars from the noughties, I can reel off, oh, that's a 1.8 turbo, or that's a, 1.5, whatever it is. Like I've got that ingrained in my head because I just know, and I read and I did so much research before knowing anything about it. So yeah, I guess it's everyone's got their own kind of way of getting that affinity, but. I guess my affinity with lasers is because I grew up with them and it was the only car we could afford for my mom at the time. And hence, we got her a laser and now I still own one. So, interesting how that goes. Riz, you showed us a Supra in the chat. That's a beautiful car.
It's converted from an auto, but it's, the quality of cars as, our resident doctor was saying across the ditch, it could be a planned holiday where we go and rent these cars and we get to drive them because you probably won't get to drive them here.
Yeah, correct.
If there is such a service that exists where you can rent these JDM cars for, a couple of days and, take them from sort of top of the country or top of North Island to the south and back up. I don't know. Maybe something that we could think about.
Well, I know in America they've got Turo, which you can people put up their cars and you can like rent WRXs and all sorts of things. And so I think that's a really cool way of doing things. Riz, you've got to go.
I do. Thanks heaps for having me on, peeps. And look forward to next time.
See you, man. See you soon.
See ya.
Bye. Okay. Is it time for the quiz?
It is time for the quiz.
Scotty
is the quiz master today.
Keeping score, my Matty.
I am, mate. I've just got it ready. You're right to go.
Thank you very much. So, who am I? Couple bonus questions. It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Couple motorsport questions. Couple European cars too. So it's not all JDM. I tried to keep it out there for everybody.
Mm.
Okay. Let's get straight into it. Question number one. What is the world's all-time best-selling car?
Matthew.
Ed just got in.
I think it is the Toyota Corolla.
Yes, it is a Toyota Corolla. That was so close, Matt.
That's what I was going to say.
I just heard the sound of Ed first before I heard the
Yeah,
sure. All right, question number two. Who was a driver for Alfa Romeo before founding his own company?
Well, Matthew.
Matthew.
That would be Enzo Ferrari.
Yes.
Hmm.
Good work. Question number three. Which iconic car has appeared in 7 Bond films, making its debut in the 6th? Ed.
Aston Martin. DB5.
Yes.
Took your time, Ed. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
No, it's not the 4. It's not the 6. That's got to be the 5.
Yeah. Well, I was about to say making its debut in the 1964
Goldfinger.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I have a bonus question linked to this one.
Mm.
What type and size of engine came in the DB5?
Matthew. It's a straight 6.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What size?
Oh,
why is an engine as well after?
It's not a 4 liter. That Jag did 4.1 liters. Is it a 3.5 liter?
Ba-bow.
Get half a point for 6?
You get half a point if someone can grab the other half a point, Ed.
I thought it was a 4 liter.
Yes, it was.
Oh, no.
Damn it. I'm getting killed today.
Yeah. I was trying to not make a face when you said, oh, I don't think it's the form. I'm like,
I know Jag did a full liter. I'm like, it can't be. I'm like, that's Jag. It'd have to be smaller, but no, I stuffed up. Yeah.
Mm.
Scorch, right. Ed 2.5, myself on 1.5. Alum, you get the score. Last week's reigning champ.
I'm working on it. I'm working
on it. Yeah, the big quiz reigning champ. He's all worn out.
I'm all worn out, you know. My muscles are tired.
Yeah, he's a bit tired. Right, question 4. This one might be a bit tricky. I'm not sure. You might know about this car. It's Who Am I? My production started in 1971 to 1992 with a total of 7,260 produced. I am a mid-engine sports car that came as a two-door and a two-door target top. I came with Ed.
I don't think I've got it right. I was going to say Porsche 911, but they would have sold a lot more than that.
Yeah.
No, I'm out. Stupid.
I came with V8s, Ford V8s through my life. From the 302 Windsor up to the 351 Matthew. Cleveland and Windsor variant. Matthew.
That'd be a Di Tommaso Pantera.
Yeah, got it.
Whoa, nice one, Matty.
Yeah, I was unsure how many people might get that one.
Yeah, it's pretty. Very limited production, 7,000 and.
Yeah, between 71 and 92, and that's all they made.
They're actually a really good looking car.
Oh, they look absolutely fantastic.
They sound mad on the load. They sound so good.
Next.
The next part of the question was going to be, I am Italian and produced by Di Tommaso Automobili.
Pantera.
The next part.
Pantera.
All right. Question 5. Okay. Now this one, before I get into it, is what year it came out in its country. Okay. Mm-hmm. It'll make sense when I say it.
Okay.
What year did the first Integra Type R come out?
Matthew.
Yeah, Matthew.
To is like officially sold in Australia or sold
country origin, so Japan.
Okay. I'm gonna say 1995.
Oh, wow. Nailed it.
Oh, yes.
Bastard.
I was ready just to step in.
Me too.
Wow.
I'm sure they got it earlier because it was before the EK. Sorry, continue. Anyway, yeah, I was like, it had to be 95.
Nice.
Nice. All right, I got a bonus question linked to this one.
Ooh.
What engine did it come with?
Matthew.
Oh, Matty. Very quick. B18 what?
Oh, B18. Oh, jeez. B18A?
Oh, ba-bow.
Oh, no.
Ed.
B18B?
Ba-bow. Let's just go through the alphabet.
B18C.
Alan.
Come on. Come on, Alan.
B18C.
Correct.
No, oh, yes. Come on. What the hell?
You see, my theory worked, Alan.
Thank you.
You bloody do that every time. Hey,
I need to get on the board, Matty.
Yeah.
That's the one and only answer. Well earned. Thank you.
Well earned, Alan. Well earned.
Well scavenged.
Yeah, I gave you guys the answer.
All right, question 6. What size engine does the AMG Hammer come with?
Ed.
Matthew.
Oh, Ed.
That is a 5.5.
Ba-bow.
Alum.
Oh.
Alum.
6 liter.
Correct.
Yes.
6 liter.
It was huge. Huge for the time.
As I said to you guys, it was last week.
Pretty good.
A fully loaded Hammer was two Testarossas. That's just
nuts.
That's insane.
Just stupid money.
Bloody cool though. Cooler than a Testarossa.
Oh, yeah.
so much cooler.
No, you're not wrong. All right, question 8. AMC produced a vehicle named after a mythical creature. What was the car called?
Matthew. That would be the Gremlin.
Yes, AMC Gremlin.
Nice.
I was waiting for a pacer-related question. I'm like, no, that's a, it's.
I was thinking javelin, matador, you know, like that sort of stuff.
Yeah, the javelins were pretty cool.
They were cool.
I like those. Yeah. All right, this one would have been good for Adrian, but he's already gone. Oh, hang on, I skipped a question.
Oh.
I skipped question seven. I'll go back to question seven.
Come on.
Yeah, to eight. My goodness.
He's not feeling well. It's okay. We can let him pass.
Yeah. Cut me some slack. All right. Let's jump up to question seven before I go and do question nine. What years did the R32 GDR win Bathurst?
Matthew? Geez. 1990 and 91.
Bow.
Oh.
Ed.
91, 92.
Bing, bing, bing. Correct.
But Matt, if I'd gone first, I would have said exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right.
Do you want a score check? Question.
Oh, yeah. Score check.
Yes. Alum 2, Ed 3.5, myself on 4.5. Still anybody's game.
Well, not anybody's.
Anybody except Alum's game.
Yeah.
All right. This is a bonus question connected to this, to the 32 GDR in Bathurst. Answer it the best you can. The bonus question is, what caused the controversy in the 1992 Bathurst win with the R32 GDR?
Matthew.
Matthew?
I believe it was because it was raining. They had all-wheel drive. They were just able to stay on the road while everybody else like flew into trees and shit. And then they kept going. And then what's it called? Jim Richards was like, "You pack of assholes" or something at the end of the race. I think that's the truth. I'm not too sure.
Unfortunately, bum bow.
Oh,
you're correct about all the rain and everything. Yep.
Ed. The controversy was surrounding the fact that the R32 GDR had a limited slip differential that was helping it.
Bow, bow.
I didn't think that was right.
Oh, well, was I at least on the right track? This is burning me now. Well,
you're kind of getting there. It's got to do with the rain and everything and crashing, but yeah. I can't really give away much more. Yeah.
Alan, who are you?
I'm talking to have something about the rain.
The way the race ended up finishing is what I'll say.
Oh.
It's all about how it finished.
Yeah, I know.
Was the race ended early?
A bit more to that.
And because the Skylines were in front, they won, even though they could have been overtaken, I don't know.
Was the race ended under the safety car or whatever?
No, you're kind of getting there, but just not right on the point. So what it was is rain started pouring down really, really heavy, cars crashing everywhere.
No, still
even the 32 GDR crashed out.
Yep.
And couldn't continue. Then they called a little bit after a red flag. And the GDR won because they took the lap back. So it wasn't in front at the time when they called the red flag. So everyone were pretty angry because they're like, hang on, the 32 GDR crashed out, but they took a lap back from when they passed.
Oh, right. So it won back then in rewind, it won.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
They rewound it back and said, we'll take it from this point. The leaders from that point. And that's why it pretty much got a lot of boos and stuff because they were like, well, that's unfair. They crashed out, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, because it was that. And I remember they were racing, it would have still been group. It would have been group A VNs and Sierra Cosworths and BMW 3s.
Yep. So that's what angered them quite a bit.
Mm.
All righty. Now I can actually do question nine, which this one would have been good for Adrian. Which car won the 2022 Bathurst 12-hour race?
Don't
meet the team, just the car. Not the team, just the car.
Matthew, was it a Porsche?
Ooh, no, Bobo. Adrian said there wasn't really many cars there. So many choices. Alan?
Was it Mercedes-Benz?
Yes, it was. It was a Mercedes-AMG.
Yeah.
Nice, Alan. Very nice.
They got first and second, I think.
Yeah.
And then all the Audis. There was heaps of Audis.
Yeah.
Surprising.
Yeah.
Question all right. 10. My last one, question 10, is a who am I? That's how I'm finishing it. Finishing it strong. Let's see how we go. Who am I? I was manufactured between 1962 and finished in 1980. I am a British sports car designed by Giovanni Michelotti. I came in a convertible and a roadster version.
Alan.
Alan?
It's some kind of an MG.
Ba-bow.
What?
No. Okay. I came in a few versions of different motors. I came in a, originally came in a 1.2, and then I came in a 1.3.
Matthew.
And I came in a, Matthew?
Triumph Spitfire.
Yeah.
The engine sizes. Right. I was like, it had to be those engine sizes.
And then they came as a 1.5 after that.
It was their last one, yeah. Well, I mean, close enough to a 1.5, they pretty much, as they always do, say it's the 1.5. My last bit was going to be, I was named after a famous World War II fighter plane. Mm-hmm. That would have given it a
good work.
Yeah, I actually quite like a Spitfire. I think they're a cool car, the Spitfire.
We didn't know they're a 1.2 or 1.3. I thought they always had a 1.5.
No, the like early, really early ones had like tiny engines.
Mm.
Yeah, really cool car though.
Fantastic looking little cars.
Oh, they are. Yeah, they look great.
British were on point during then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good era for them, wasn't it?
And one of those, like a later one in British Racing Green, is like pornography. That is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Score check, gentlemen. Alum 3, Ed 3.5, and myself on
7.
Not 7. 5.5. Thank you, gentlemen.
As I said, was in an AMG Hammer, but not.
Not correct. Correct.
Well done, Matthew. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done, Maddie.
Thank you.
Nice work, Maddie.
Thank you. Thank you. I think that's a podcast, gentlemen.
Okay, bye.
Like and share our Facebook page. It's Car Talk with Maddie J. It's TORQE with Maddie J. If you miss any of our previous episodes, they're all up on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasting out. So don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review to there. Also, check out our merch. Go to our Teespring store. Go to teespring.com and type in Car Talk Store. You'll find some great t-shirts and all sorts of things on there. As well as become a patron to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Car Talk Podcast and support the show there. Mr. Singh, can you give our main homeboy a plug?
Yes. If you're looking to buy a new car, and you don't know what you should be paying, hit up our good friend Rizzy Ross at carloop.com.au. And he is also the man that's in the know when it comes to the electrified space, you know, having to own 2 Teslas. So hit him up for any information, particularly about, you know, again, possibly what you should look at paying and also when you should be expecting your car.
Absolutely. Scotty Snitches, anything to snitch on?
No, very, very quiet.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Bunting. Now, in particular, I would like to say thank you for being on your show in the past week, which you can give a plug to now.
Yeah. So if you're bored and you want to listen to more car stories, listen to Auto Retro Podcast. You can find it on Facebook, Spotify, Instagram, YouTube. We film it as well. And our most recent release was Mr. Matthew Janina. So if you want to see him on the... yeah, on the YouTube, talking about all his history of vehicles, then have a listen to Auto Retro Podcast.
Quality listening. Thanks again for having me on. It was a stinking hot night that night too, by the way.
It was hot. It was, but you handled the heat well.
True professional. True professional.
Yeah, true professional. You didn't even look sweaty.
And really good listening. They're doing big things in this automotive space. So give them some love, Mr. David and Mr. Edward. Gentlemen, lovely as always. Thanks for the show. I'll see you next time. Take it easy.
Catch you later.
See ya.
Bye.